Alrighty, let's turn to a couple places to start tonight. Exodus 15 and then Jude 16. Exodus 15, then Jude 16. All right, Exodus chapter 15, and just going to read a verse or two here for you, starting with verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink for the waters of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Let's go over to Jude 16 real quick. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Father, I come to you tonight and pray that you might give us light in these things, Lord. We are sinners, and as I said this morning, the old man is corrupt. Lord, therefore, many of us, all of us, I'm sure, have flaws in our character, Lord, that you have every intention of ironing out before the judgment seat of Christ. I pray you might make us aware of something tonight. Father, sometimes it's easy for certain things that we do and certain things that we are to slip underneath the radar. And I pray that we might be able to illuminate something here tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, and we live in a day that open sewage. Now, open licentiousness. Our society has become a virtually lecherous society. And so you, as a Bible believer, read the Bible, and you, of course, are conscious of losing your testimony in some way by doing something truly horrible. Again, lechery, wantonness, becoming entirely prodigal, that sort of thing. You're warned in the Bible about wine bibbing and partying and lying and stealing and adultery and all the things that are connected with all the stuff of the flesh. And in that being so, maybe because we now live in such a wanton society, maybe it's become easier for certain things to fly beneath the radar. They become acceptable by comparison, because when you compare maybe what I'm talking about tonight to some other things that you've heard about in recent days among the stars and the athletes and all the stuff that goes on in our society, you know, this doesn't seem like a big deal. It seems much less grievous. However, I'll remind you of something. The devil may not succeed in giving you a bad case of the floozies. He may not succeed in getting you to abscond with the church money, and he may not wind up being able to get you addicted to something where you lose control of, you know, various parts of your habits and whatever. May not get you addicted. However, there are subtler ways to ruin your testimony and to ruin your relationship with God than just having you run off with a floozy. I remind you that Balaam never did curse Israel, but he still wound up dead. And so I wanted to talk to you about something here tonight. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 24, you have the first occasion in the Bible of anybody murmuring. In Jude 16, you have the last occurrence of murmuring being mentioned. There are a total of about 40 times that murmuring is mentioned in the Word of God. I will remind you of what He said regarding the children of Israel in 1 Corinthians 10. You don't have to run there. I'll just read it to you. You'll recognize the verse. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now, I'm not here to control or frighten you about being destroyed as such, again, I just say that as the night grows darker and as the perilous times grow deeper, licentiousness and lechery continues to grow in our society and that sort of thing. But again, there are subtler ways for the devil to succeed in ruining your relationship with God than having you run off with a bunch of money and do something wicked with it, okay? So I want to talk about that for a little while. I want to talk to you tonight about murmuring. When I looked up the definition, murmuring is, if you hear about a murmuring stream, the idea is it's a low ebb type sound. It's more or less continuous. But for our purposes tonight, it means a continuous, half-suppressed or muttered complaint. Murmuring. Muttering. It happens a lot of times under duress. The children of Israel, when tired and hungry and uncertain and insecure in the wilderness, which is where you wander today in many respects, they murmured. Okay, they made the Lord angry there for their murmuring. When the disciples and the Pharisees were disappointed by Jesus Christ's ministry, the fact that He didn't do things as they expected, He did not perform as they wanted, then the Bible says that they murmured. When the Lord of the vineyard did not pay fair wages in Matthew 20, the people murmured, the Bible says. When the disciples didn't live up to somebody else's expectations, they murmured. When the disciples didn't like what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in John 6, they murmured against Him. And when you feel shorted or neglected, like the widows and disciples in Acts 6, when the widows were not properly ministered to by the apostles and disciples, then there was a murmuring of the Grecians among them. They murmured. Okay, it is, I want to say to start, it is an addictive habit. It's something that ekes in and becomes a part of you. It addicts you. If you grow to be a person that gripes and murmurs, most people in this room know somebody who at least a good part of their character stands out, that they're a griper and a murmurer and a complainer. Okay? It's an addictive habit. It can take over your character. 23 times between Exodus 15 and Deuteronomy chapter 1, the children of Israel were said to murmur, they murmured, they murmured, they murmured. It became one of the outstanding traits of Israel, besides their being stiff-necked and hard-hearted, it became one of the outstanding traits about Israel that they murmured. It can ruin your relationship with God. Okay? The murmuring. So I want to talk to you about a few things about this tonight. I just have some observations. Look in Exodus chapter 15. And again, as we go into the deeper and deeper into the dark days of this dispensation, as things close out and apostasy deepens, and I think that it's worthwhile to not just beware of adultery and not just beware of the sodomite agenda and all the things that can pollute and defile you, but among other things, how about those things that come from within that defile a man, among them murmuring. Right? First of all, I notice an interesting thing. This is just an observation. Exodus 15:24, the people murmured against Moses saying, "What shall we drink?" Nobody in the Bible murmured until Exodus 15. I'm not saying that nobody muttered under their breath. We've got Cain who muttered some things, I'm sure. You have Esau, who said some things, I'm sure, under his breath along the way. You have Hagar and Sarah and all that stuff. You have Ishmael, whom I'm sure had some things to say under his breath as well through that whole process. Bottom line, what I'm saying is, the Holy Ghost never denominated or categorized anybody as murmuring until you got to Exodus chapter 15. And the interesting thing that I found about that is that in Exodus chapter 13, after all the plagues that happened in Israel, after all the signs and miracles, the Lord led the children of Israel in Exodus 13 out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel had the Red Sea parted before them. They walked through on dry land, and the Egyptian armies were swallowed up and drowned. Exodus chapter 15 begins with singing and dancing and celebration of those victories out of Egypt. But by the time you get to verse 24 in Exodus 15, the people are murmuring. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line that I'm getting at there is that in the very shadow of their great joy and perhaps one of Israel's greatest triumphs ever, you find people murmuring against Moses and against the Lord. In the very shadow of it. They are a walking, living miracle, and yet they still have thousands of miracles and signs that are going to happen before them. We know that now. They had yet to eat any manna. That was coming soon. They had yet to drink water that came from a rock. That was coming soon. As they walked through the Red Sea, as they walked up to the bitter waters at Marah, their very clothes were not waxing old. Their feet were not swelling. They weren't wearing out their clothes. Now, they may not have known that then, but my point is, in the very shadow, Israel was a walking, breathing miracle. And in the midst of that, with things both in their past that they could look back on and see, and things in the future that they could not see, they're in the middle. It only takes one moment, and they're off murmuring against Moses. Now, with that said, I'd just like to say, as you know, we walk forward here, America, I know, is on a downslide. We have major issues in Washington. I'm not sure that any of it will ever get straightened out. It's been predicted for a long time, but you live tomorrow's tax day. Isn't that a joy? There are people that don't have jobs or don't have a job that can sustain them or satisfy them. There are disappointments that have happened in your life. There are bitter failings that you've observed amongst the brethren and so on and so forth. My question is, for all those things that it's really easy to murmur about and complain and mutter under your breath as you walk out of church, I'm going to ask you, how have you evaluated your blessings? I'll ask you, what do you murmur in the shadow of, in the midst of? Whatever else can be said, you have a salvation that folks in the Old Testament could not even conceive. You enjoy a salvation, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that Moses never enjoyed. Or Abraham never enjoyed. You have those things. I'm going to go through and I can name some stuff, but you have a Bible. We talked this morning about being stewards of the mysteries of God. And you have a Bible. You have knowledge that the prophets of old did not see or understand and angels desire to look into. And you have it. It's common knowledge for you. You know, I tell you what, I bet the truth be known. I bet that some of you could stand up and tell me, you know, what a wonderful wife or husband you have, and that there's no way in the world you deserve him or her. And that if we had seen you 30 years ago or 40 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever, who would have thought that you could have somebody, a husband or a wife or a spouse, that would love you and honor you and be a part of your life to the extent that your wife or husband's been a blessing to you? And yet it is so easy to get off griping. I mean, kids, you've got parents, and they're not perfect. Nobody but me, Anna and Joseph, have perfect parents. But I know that your parents aren't perfect. But when you stop and consider what some people's parents do on a regular basis and how they live their lives, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just asking you to think about in the midst of, it's really, look, this morning, I'm standing here in the pulpit, I look outside, it's snowing, it's April, it's snowing, and I myself murmured right in front of you. Rah, 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 right? Well, look, all I'm saying is that the children of Israel, nobody ever was ever said to murmur in the Bible until Exodus 15. Right in the shadow of the greatest miracles up to that point that had ever happened. And with thousands, hundreds and hundreds, thousands more to come. The fact of the matter is, you don't even know some of the ways that the Lord's blessed you because He hasn't revealed them to you. You have no way of knowing what He protected you from today, going to church and from church twice. You have no way of knowing. You furthermore, you have overlooked scores. You have not thanked God today for scores of blessings that you have on a regular, pretty much daily basis that 5 billion pagans out there know nothing about. You can go to places and nobody even understands how you deal with sewage in your home. Your standards of cleanliness, you have hot water. And I don't mean to get petty about stuff, but I'm telling you, folks, sometimes people murmur and gripe in the very shadow of some of the greatest blessings there are. So just first thing, just take note that nobody murmured in the Bible according to the Holy Spirit until Exodus 15:24, and then only in the shadow of some of the greatest blessings that have ever happened to any people or any nation, anywhere, anytime, any place in this world. Notice secondly, look in 15:24 again. 15:24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now, the interesting thing, the other thing that I saw here in this verse, several times in chapter 13 and coming out of Egypt, and chapter 14 coming across the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire at night is mentioned several times. Again, these folks had just passed through the Red Sea on dry land. They just walked past, and the waters were congealed in the heart of the sea. And they saw Pharaoh and his armies drowned. They had just watched all these miracles occur through time in Egypt during the time they were there. They had followed out of Egypt this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire at night. Okay? The God that led you to Marah is the one that led you out of there. Okay? I mean, the Lord led them there. Now, nobody lives in utopia with all things utopian and euphoric and everything customized to your comfort and desire and all that kind of thing. That's hard. It's hard when you lose a job. It's hard for a man to lose a job. It's hard for a woman to lose a job. But it's hard to lose a job. It's hard when, you know, you have family problems. It's hard when your son or daughter has in some manner broken your wife's heart. It's hard when something important that you've labored for a long time is a major disappointment. When your health fails, when your brethren fail you. Okay, those things are hard. I understand. It's hard to watch America slide downhill the way it is. It's hard to watch the media lie continually and not hold anybody accountable unless they're a conservative. Okay? It's hard to watch those sort of things. Well, fact of the matter is, the day that you got saved, you didn't have any complaints about the Lord delivering you from the miry clay. I bet the day that you got married, you didn't have any complaints about your wife or your husband. The day the Lord delivered you a bright, bouncy, pink baby boy or baby girl, you had no complaints. You were just happy that they were healthy. Right? Okay, I mean, in happier times, maybe than you are today, you have probably stood and testified of the goodness of God and how good He is to have brought you to a church, to have given you brethren for your family, for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for various bounteous blessings that God has given you. Okay, you've probably done that. It seems to me that whenever we then face some trouble in the home or the loss of a job or the loss of big money or we owe the IRS a pile of money or some such thing. It seems to me that when you go through those things, it should, you know, if you've prayed over things in your life and God led you to church and God led you to your brethren and God gave you a family, it seems to me that unless something's really messed up, the Lord probably allowed you Mara as well. Probably allowed you the bitter waters as well. The Lord that led you through the Red Sea and to salvation and to your wife and family and gave you health and those sort of things is the same one that led you to trouble. Right? He led them there. There's something else I'd like you to see with this. They, as an observation, didn't want to go where he led. Just like I don't sometimes. I didn't want to go to the hospital 3 years ago. 3 years ago, April 1st was my anniversary. We had ice cream that night. My anniversary. Well, I didn't want to go there. And they didn't want to go where the Lord led them. The Lord decided not to lead them in the easy way. If it's a man doing it, if it's me doing it, I want to go the easy way. I want to leave Egypt, walk by the way of the Philistines into Canaan. But that's not what he did. He allowed them to be entangled in the land, allowed them to be trapped by the Red Sea, and didn't allow them to be captains of their own ship and in control of things. In fact, he forced them to lean on him where he would have to do something miraculous to get them out of the wilderness. He did not choose for them a well-provisioned route. You know, you got 2 million people in the caravan. Food's going to be a problem. And water's going to be a problem. Water and food were continual problems all the time unless God did something special and spectacular and supernatural. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that they didn't want to go where he led, just like half the time me and you don't want to go where he leads. The fact of the matter is that they went kicking and screaming and fighting the whole way. And so often that's exactly how we go where he leads us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my point is you can gripe and murmur all the way into the wilderness and back out again. Or you can go and let the Lord do something in you that only he can do in you. I'd like you to notice something else. Look in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 23. Nobody murmured. Nobody murmured until Exodus 15. The Lord led them there. They simply didn't want to go where he led. In Exodus chapter 16, notice verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Would to God, they murmured, we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt. Look in Numbers chapter 14, would you? Numbers 14, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. One more. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy 1, 27. And ye murmured in your tents and said, Because the Lord hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. The Lord hated us. Would to God we had died in Egypt. Would to God we had just died already out here. Now, would you notice the content of the murmuring? The content. Look at how ridiculous the things are that they're saying. And you know the fact of the matter is, now they did say these things to Moses and Aaron. They did say to them, You brought us out here to kill us. God hates us. We just wish that we had died in Egypt. We just wish that we'd already died out here rather than living this life of suffering you've led us in. This is your fault. We're murmuring against you. Okay, now, they said that to Moses and Aaron. I dare say You most likely will mutter stuff and murmur under your breath some things and say some things in your heart or under your breath that you would never stand up here and publicly testify of. Because you know that some folks, at least, wouldn't put up with it. And you would never go get on your knees and say some things to the Lord directly that you say under your breath with Him listening anyway. Right? I mean, look at the content of the murmuring and the muttering. I don't know how you are, but I can get so frustrated sometimes. I can say things under my breath that I will, by the grace of God, never testify of before you. It's ridiculous. It's shameful. It's a frustrated spirit. It's a lot of different things. But brethren, it is sin. It is sin. And if you think God doesn't listen to muttering and murmuring and griping and complaining that goes on under somebody's breath, maybe not even out loud, I'm just telling you, the likelihood is that you will say things under your breath in the Lord's hearing that you would be ashamed to get up here and say in front of this congregation. Okay? Murmuring is a sin. Look at the content of what they said. Look furthermore at something else. Look at the direction of the murmuring. In Exodus 16 again, I'm going to run you back and forth just a little more, not much. In 16:2, notice, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now they're murmuring against Moses and against Aaron, but notice verse 7, in the morning then, ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. In murmuring against Moses and Aaron, they were murmuring against God. Look in Numbers 14. Numbers 14, 27. How long, says the Lord, shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that are numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. The direction of their murmuring. They were murmuring to Aaron and Moses, but the direction was wrong. I think it's time. If you're one whose character has been affected by the sin of murmuring and muttering under your breath and always having a gripe gut spirit about things, about everything from the brethren, or perhaps it's just taxes, or perhaps it's just the government, or perhaps it's this, that, or the other, I think you should come to grips with the fact that you're actually mad at God. I get tired of the preacher being blamed for everybody being mad. Or, failing that, the brethren being the next best excuse for the reason somebody leaves church. If they're not leaving because they're mad at the preacher, because the preacher did something wrong and offended me, they leave because the rest of the brethren don't care about me and the rest of the brethren, the brethren, the brethren, the brethren. I think it's time that you come to grips with the fact that you're a gripe gut, you're a murmurer, and what you're secretly mad, who you're secretly mad at is God. It's just true. It's just true. The direction of their muttering and murmuring, yes, it was through Moses and Aaron. But meanwhile, the pillar of fire is still leading. Look, no matter what the preacher does or the brethren does, you still have the Bible to lead you. You have the Holy Spirit still inside to lead you, and you are being led. There was a day that you would stand and testify, the Lord Jesus Christ led me to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And it is so good to be a Bible believer. It's so good to be in church where somebody believes the book. But 6 weeks later, you're mad at somebody in church and the brethren are just dirt bags. They just run the brethren. Well, it's probably time for you to come to grips with the fact that it ain't the brethren that's a problem. If you have a problem, your problem is with God. And I got news for you. When you go to Him, you know what you're going to find out? You're the problem. You're the problem. All right, there's something else here I'd like you to see. Numbers chapter 11. And in Numbers 11, I'm going to admit up front that the word murmur is not here, but I think it's pretty evident from the course of things, that this will still be true of this. Notice Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. I want to say that murmuring and complaining and muttering and griping displeases the Lord. It displeases Him. He's not happy with it. I mean, you read and believe what it says in Romans chapter 1 about those people not being thankful. You know what Philippians says about a man praying with thanksgiving in his heart, and how what comes with that is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know those verses. And yet, how often do you fall back to the old comfortable place where you feel like you can mutter and murmur and gripe about all sorts of things and it still be okay? The Lord is not happy with it. That's why I say, the devil doesn't necessarily have to get you to run off with a floozy or run off with the money. He doesn't necessarily have to get you addicted to gambling or pornography or some such thing. If he can just inject into your spirit a murmuring, muttering type characteristic, he can ruin your relationship with God. I'm not saying that you're not eternally secure anymore. I'm just saying that as far as having a relationship with God, nobody wants to be around a mutterer and a murmurer. Even God. It displeases the Lord. Look at 11:32. The children are muttering and murmuring and complaining about the manna and the foodstuffs the Lord sends their way on a regular basis. So He does something. He says in verse 31, "There went forth a wind from the Lord, brought quails from the sea, let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. The people stood up all that day and all that night, and all the next day they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves around about the camp. While the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague." Now, a lot of this griping and murmuring all began with water and with food. That was the most common thing. One of their gripes was that, "We wish we were back in Egypt. We should have died back there, because at least back there we had leeks, garlics, and onions." I like onions a lot, but I don't know that I like them that much. But they're constantly complaining about food and water, food and water, food and water. So in Numbers chapter 11, they complain the Lord is displeased. But even displeased, He gives them quail roundabout. So this is a new part of their diet. While it's still between their teeth, the plague burns among them and some die. They get sick. I just want to say, food and water, like we said this morning, are necessities. They're blessings. The Lord cursed their necessities and their blessings. I don't know about you. I would prefer to not have the Lord go to the extent of cursing my necessities. I would like for my food to be blessed. I don't know how you feel about it, but clean water is a blessing. You know? To be able to go to the tap, and I know there's fluoride and stuff in there, but go to the tap and not have to worry about getting some dread disease that's going to take you down to 94 pounds before it's done with you. That's a blessing. You have to account that a blessing from God here, right? And my point is, He cursed their necessities and their blessings because of their griping, their murmuring, their complaining, and because He was displeased. Now, there are things that we take for granted. We pretty much take food for granted. We pretty much take water for granted. I got news for you. If you think something you're going through is inconvenient, just wait till the Lord curses your blessings and curses your necessities. Malachi 2 says, I will curse your blessings. I know Malachi is not written to me. Malachi is written to Jews, and that's all fine. There's one other thing I'd like you to see here. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, actually two things more to see. Don't want to lie to you. Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12. Notice verse 15. Now, you know, like I said, I'm as capable as any of getting my tongue wagging about what's going on in America right now and the government and the Congress and the president and all the things that go on. And have done so in the past. But at the same time, I have to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't want to get where that gets under my skin, where I'm constantly muttering and murmuring under my breath about how rotten things are. There are brethren that I can talk to. I call them up or they call me up. We talk. And every time we talk, they can't get off the fact that Christianity is such a stinking blankety-blank mess these days. And they just, rah, 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 rah. Okay. One statement, I grant you, it's true. But you know what? We're trying not to be that way. And the more you mutter and complain and gripe and murmur under your breath, the more it becomes ingrained in your character and the habits of the way you speak and so on. Did you ever just notice somebody that it was always just rah, 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 and no matter what happened good, it was still rah, 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 rah. Well, I don't know, you know. They stand before the Lord for themselves, but I really don't need to contact that for myself. I don't believe that my wife, my family, my friends, and my brethren need that all the time from me. We have to deal with sin enough without just sitting around muttering, murmuring, griping, and complaining. Look, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 12. I don't want it to become this. Hebrews 12, 15, and again, I know that in this passage, the word murmuring is not there, which is what we're preaching about tonight. It says, verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, you're going to go through trials, you're going to go through hardships and disappointments, and what you're going to need to help sustain you is the grace of God. It's possible to fail of the grace of God. God has grace there to offer you to go through something that's less than enjoyable, but you don't want any because you would rather, in our case here, gripe, murmur, and complain. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. That murmuring and complaining can become a trait of character. It can become ingrained in your character, can become a habit of the way you speak. And no matter what somebody says about something or somebody, it's always rah, 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 rah. And before it's over with, the Lord has to ask the question, well, where's the gratitude? No matter what you can say, you still live in the greatest country on earth. And to this hour, neither the IRS, the BATF, or the DEA has ever shown up at my house and troubled me for one moment. I believe the politicians are crooks. I think they're bought off. But, you know, you look on the horizon, you see things happening and all that kind of stuff. But so far, I have had perfect liberty to serve God. I have not gone hungry out of necessity a single day in as many years as I can remember. And there's about 50-something of them now. And that's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I know things can be bad, but, you know, you can curse and swear, and if you're not careful, you're going to develop a bitter, ungrateful, unthankful spirit. Do you know how many civilizations of Christians, how many generations of Christians have lived in civilizations and cultures that were in much worse condition than yours has ever been and is still not in bad condition today by the standards of comparing it to, say, the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire? I know we're going down. I know that things are not good. I know that there are clouds on the horizon. You still have a lot to be grateful for. And one thing the Lord needs from His people is not a spirit of rah, 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 and I don't know what that sorry so-and-so is doing up there on the White House. Ready to go break somebody's legs and kill somebody. I'd like you to read one more thing with me. Look in Philippians chapter 2. This murmuring became an earmark of Israel's character. When their Messiah showed up, they could not be satisfied. They griped and murmured and complained because he didn't follow regulations as far as they could see fit. And as far as what they thought he should do, he did not follow their path. When their very own Messiah showed up, they killed him, in part because they were a bunch of murmuring, muttering, rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. You're not beyond that, and your character's not beyond that if you fall into the habit of it. Look in Philippians chapter 2 and go down to verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in mine absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I don't care what you're going through. I'll shed a tear for your disappointments. I'll shed a tear for your brokenheartedness and all those sort of things. But I didn't do it. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is doing something in you through that disappointment, just like He was doing something to Israel as they stood beside bitter waters. Verse 14, do all things in that light without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You want to see a verse where he acknowledges just how bad things are? I mean, take this, how bad Israel was, how bad Rome was. Take it over to the United States, and in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Murmuring, muttering, complaining, shining lights. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Shut up. Just shut up. Murmuring is a sin. Murmuring, in part, ruined Israel's relationship with God in many ways. God was merciful, long-suffering, all those things. But their muttering and murmuring eventually, in part, contributed to the death of their very own Messiah. And after the Messiah rose from the dead, they still were not inclined to believe and still didn't believe. My point is, you take the lessons, don't allow yourself to be destroyed by the murmuring and muttering like they did. The devil doesn't have to give you a gambling addiction. You do not have to yield to the temptation of becoming a belly dancer for him to ruin you. You can be ruined in much more subtle ways than that. Your relationship with God can be ruined by you muttering against Him. God is a spirit, but God is a person. And you know full well that if you muttered full time and murmured full time and griped and cursed full time in front of your boss, you would wind up fired. Now look, God is God and God is holy. And I just wonder sometimes what He thinks about folks who have nothing to do but murmur and complain and mutter about stuff. It's always the preacher, it's always the brethren, it's always the this, it's always the, government. There's nothing good to say about anybody, and they're just not thankful. He's proven what He'll do with folks that aren't thankful. Romans chapter 1. Look, don't let the devil ruin your relationship with God by inspiring you and moving you to muttering and murmuring and griping and complaining. Don't worry, be happy. I'm just kidding. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we, in a lighter note here, but Father, we are very aware that many of us have a problem it is very easy for us to allow our spirits to down spiral down into this very thing. And again, Lord, we are conscious of how wanton and lecherous our society is today and how open the sewage flows. And Lord, a lot of us are laboring full time to stay away from that stuff and not be caught up in it. We should also be very careful about things in our own spirit, among the which, Father, we all are gripers at heart, probably. It's really easy, Father, to go negative real fast in some things like this. I pray You'd give us insight. May we ever remember that we live and walk before Thee, that You hear each word we say, whether under our breath or not. And You know our thoughts, the thoughts of our heart. You know whether we're thankful or not. Help us, Father, to labor to cultivate a grateful and thankful spirit about things, even when they don't go well with us. Help us, Father, to break the habit of muttering under our breaths about our husbands, our wives, our children, our brethren in Christ, and all other things as well. Father, help us in these things. Only You can convict. Only the Holy Spirit can reprove of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So we pray that You might do that now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a few minutes here. The Lord dealt with you tonight. Obviously, the altar is open. I freely admit to you that there have been times that I have gone down this road more than at others. Look this way. We'll stand with number 364 in hand, unless you know it by heart, which many of you do anyway. Number 364. Thank you.
being here today in spite of the weather and all that. I hope you have a safe journey home tonight. Let's pause for prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we do ask for safety in getting home tonight, and you've been good to us that way. It's been a rough winter, and for the most part, most of our folks have gotten through pretty much unscathed. We account that as blessing from your hand. Father, give us insight into your work in our lives. Father, may you reveal to us some of those things that are so easy to overlook as you protect us, overlook us, overwatch us, intervene in things, Father, that we sometimes don't even think about. We are reminded tonight, Lord, that we have every reason to be grateful and very few reasons to gripe and complain. Every one of us standing in this room tonight deserves hell, and we deserve to be there now, and none of us are. And as far as I know, nobody in this room is going because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we're thankful for that. We pray that you will bless now as we're dismissed. Again, get folks home safely, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.